the cherry wood. I'm not saying I don't like it. I kind of dig it. But I would have just went, you know, straight down the middle of the road with it.
There's a lot of dill here too. And I know a lot of people love that dill rye. I think this is totally up your alley. To me, I prefer more orange and floral notes. That's the Canadian style more than this.
Well, you got to drop the rye content down. Once you hit 95, then you're getting that dill whether you like it or not. Yeah. I mean, you get it in, you know, that's sort of the MGP, you know, moniker, like the Beam Peanuts, you know, everybody has their thing, but anybody that makes a 95.5 rye, you get the dill. I mean, it's just inherent in the mash bill. I think if they drop the rye content down, that might take it down and get more of the orange. And if you had the orange and the cherry, that would be cool.
That's where I want it to be.
Yeah, if you could get the orange amped up along with the cherry, this thing would be like a mouthful of candy.
But as it is, like I think this is another one where the nose promised one thing and the palate didn't quite deliver, but it's going in the right direction. They're doing the right things.
Agreed, 100%.
What'd you think, Mark?
No, exactly. I mean, I agree with you guys. I think the nose was fantastic. I love the cherry. I loved all the promise on the nose. I just felt that the palate was a little bit light and a little bit disappointing compared to, say, the nose. You know, a beautiful made whiskey.
I just I think it's just too green for me, and that's that too much dill. Just too much. That's my personal taste.
I'm just wondering if they knocked the rye content down a little and brought that orange out, and then they did. Not every other stay, but every third stay with the cherry.
Oh, look at you getting all technical. Every third stay with cherry.
Because then you'd get the cherry.
Change too many variables at once, man. You want to see what's happening. Change just one variable at a time.
It'd be like going to Willy Wonka's and you know, eating candy all day. So, you know.
Okay, Bob.
I'm just throwing that out there. You guys, you know, you guys are the ones that are complaining. I want to tell you, I'm the chill one here.
No, I really enjoy what Morristown is doing, dude. I really do.
The dude abides.
Exactly.
We've been a couple times, and Bob and I have been a couple. At least I've been a couple times with Bob. I don't know how many times Bob's been there. Bob probably lives there. How many times have you been there, Bob?
More than I can count.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I've been there a couple times with Bob, and I think it's a fantastic facility, and they're very upfront with what they're doing, and they'll tell you whose whiskey they're making that day. It's great.
And the restaurant is solid.
It's a great.
It's one of the best restaurants in town.
If you're going to go visit Bardstown, definitely.
If you're in Bardstown, if you don't go to Bardstown Bourbon Company, you've made a grievous error. So,
and I think they're doing good stuff, and I'm very happy with this Origin Series.
Yep. Yeah,
first time I'm tasting it.
Exactly, it's their first release, and I think they're doing very well. So we're going to be rating the Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Kentucky Straight Rye. Three sips.
Interesting.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows. Or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the new Origin Series whiskeys from Bardstown Bourbon Company. Very, very interesting stuff. I think they're well on the way to making some really quality whiskey. So we're going to go to our next one. And we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thank you again, Bob. The Uncle Nearest Straight Rye Whiskey is 50% ABV, 100 proof. This is a straight rye whiskey that originates in Canada. According to the exact American specifications, required to be straight rye whiskey. And then aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years before moving down to Tennessee, where it is rested in Uncle Nearest barrels for an additional maturation. The liquid is tasted and barrel by barrel and blended by master blender and great granddaughter of Nearest Green, Victoria Edie Butler. So we didn't talk about the story of Uncle Nearest. We've done it in other episodes.
Oh, you can go about it. Yeah.
Bob, you know more about than me, but Nearest was the guy who apparently, and according to the stories, is the guy who taught Jack Daniel's how to distill.
Well, Jack Daniel's was a young kid and was not happy with his stepmother, so he ran away from home at, I was 12 or 14 or something like that, and ended up moving in with Reverend Dan Call, who, in addition to being a reverend, also had a distillery and made booze. And the man that ran that distillery was, at the time, was an enslaved man named Nearest Green. And Uncle Nearest was the gentleman who taught Jack Daniel's how to make whiskey when he was a kid. Then the war happened, the slaves were freed and all that. And then eventually Nearest ended up going to work with Jack. There is a picture that circulates if you go there. That shows Jack Daniel's standing next to a guy that originally they would say they used to say that's Uncle Nearest, but it's they've now come back and said no, we're pretty sure it's not him. We think it's his son, but they because they look so much alike because they were father and son. But he's the man who basically ran the distillery when Jack Daniel's was a kid and didn't know how to make whiskey. So that's the story in a nutshell.
So they've resurrected the name, and now they're purchasing whiskey and bottling it under the name. So this is the, again, the straight rye. The color is a bright gold copper. The nose, this is a weird one. This is a very herbal nose. I don't expect this from Canadian rye a lot. I don't know what's going on here. I get sweet pipe tobacco and tomato leaf. It's all tomato leaf for me. It's kind of weird, very green. And there's something else going on, a little bit of spice underneath, but not much. Mm. On the palate, the entry is a little tannic, a little bitter with a lot of baking spice. And it fades into like a chocolatey note. Finishes medium, but then it goes sweet again. It gets like it's a medium long finish. Goes bitter and then gets sweet, like honeyed, and then goes away. It's just all over the place. I have no idea what to think. Maury, what do you say?
No, I agree with you, Harm. I thought that the nose was okay, but what I was really getting was a monotone on the palate. For me, it was green. It was vegetal. It was young. It was immature. It just... It needs time. Really needs time. Brent, you want to add?
I actually liked the nose on this. It was soft. It was like a soft vanilla honey nose to me.
Where?
I mean, to me, it was where.
Yeah, I don't see. I didn't get the tomato-y thing.
I didn't get it either on the nose.
Right over me.
I can smell green tomato leaf here, and I'll give you the honey underneath. There's the honey. Yeah. But I'm not getting vanilla.
But this one here, you really need to add an ice cube or some water to this to kind of take out some of those tannins and the bitterness to it
that you get
on the palate.
Yeah, I'll try.
I mean, it softens it up a little bit because I think the tannins kind of overwhelm it a little bit on your palate. But that's what I get from when I'm on my palate and on my finish. I don't know. I don't know if I, it's just not for me. Bob?
Again, I didn't get that vegetal note.
How do you not? Oh, my God. It must be genetic or something.
That's the thing.
Overpowering.
And that's why, when you see a show where it's like one guy doing a review, it's like, well, that only works if it's,
if you line up
with him.
Yeah.
Like when we do the wine episodes, when we get Denise in here to do the wine episodes, I love having Denise here. One, she's much more literate than that monkey on the other end of the table.
She's also easier on the eyes.
Yeah. But
how did he marry her? How did you do that?
He lied. Hey. but her palate and my palate in wine seem to always be in sync. Like if I'm going, I taste this, no one at the table will get it, but she'll get it. So your palate is different. Everybody's palate is different. So that's why it's important to have a show like ours where you have four or five people going around the room because there are certain things people pick up. You got two people here picking up the vegetal thing and it's knocking them over. You got two people over here not picking up at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, I'm
have
searching.
Have you eaten a vegetable, Bob? You don't look like you eat vegetables.
No.
Have you seen that body type of his?
No.
Does he look like he's ever eaten a vegetable?
It's a shape. Pear is a shape.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, to me, the nose was
fruit,
just
not
it
a vegetable.
Was all just, you know, it was
back
very,
me up
very
on this
sweet.
Arm.
It
pears are fruit.
Yeah,
pears are fruit, and yeah. So is a tomato. Literally, so
yes. Very, very sweet on the nose, which for rye, just like what it didn't register. It this doesn't smell like rye.
No.
Hmm. And then on the palate, that tannic edge to it that popped out is usually something I would get on something that had actually been aged a little too long.
Yeah.
But usually if you can taste through that tannic, that old wood, you know, then there's, you know, you can taste the old whiskey behind it, something that's come to that point. So I don't know why the tannic level is so high. Adding the water to it, it didn't make it go away, but it took that edge off to where it wasn't nearly as biting. So this one definitely needs water. It is softened up a bit with air, but it doesn't taste like a rye to me.
It leaves me confused.
Right. Yeah. It leaves me
not confused.
Not confused
and angry, just
no.
confused.
No, just confused.
Confused and angry is different.
Confused and angry is your daily
default. That's, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's his nickname.
But now I've got whiskey in me, so I'm no angry.
Yeah. So
I'm a very happy drunk.
Yeah, sure. No reason to be angry.
Sure, he's a happy drunk. Okay. Yeah. How many times have you had to pick? Never mind. We won't even go there. So we're going to be rating the Uncle Nearest Straight Rye Whiskey 2 Sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So that's going to take us to our next one from Uncle Nearest. So we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This is the Uncle Nearest Uncut Unfiltered Rye, 59.8% ABV or 119.6 proof, 100% rye.
Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, eh?
Oh, for sure, yeah. This inaugural distillery-only release was made in British Columbia and was aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years before moving down to Tennessee. On the nose, I'm getting like
that's where it went wrong. It went to New York. Stay out of New York.
Yeah. On the color of this one, you get that getting more towards that 70s copper penny kind of looking. On the nose, again, I got honey, vanilla. I did not, there's nothing in the nose said rye to me. One thing says rye to me, but on the palate, right away I get some pipe tobacco, some baking spice, a little bit of honey. I get those tannins come through. What you really need to do with this one again is you need to add some water or ice cube to it. It really helps the entire complexity of this. But overall, the finish was kind of off-putting to me a little bit on the side of my mouth, where just on the side instead of my entire palate. And the tannins kind of overtook it a little bit as well. So
the funny thing is this is the uncut rye.
Yeah.
And for me, the tannins were lower on this than they were on the first one.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, they're still high.
Right.
And again, I'm a person who kind of likes an older woody whiskey, especially, you know, when like an older woody bourbon, I kind of get in that mood and I kind of enjoy it. But usually with that additional wood, you get, you know, behind that is, you know, a 17, 18.
Here I am trying to make older woody jokes.
You know,
like, yeah, so
yeah, right.
Nothing PG-13 here.
Yeah, no, it's
the moment the world has waited for.
Exactly. So, you know, it's you're getting that up front, but then you're just, you know, you're getting a much younger whiskey behind, which again confuses me. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
You see, you said this didn't remind you of rye. This one, I thought.
No,
was
on the nose. On the nose, it did not remind me.
Not on the nose
at all.
See, I got.
On the nose, not at all. But on the palate, I did get the.
You said vanilla, and I got the vanilla on the nose. But I get a little bit of white flour, which sometimes I associate with like white flowers, which I sometimes associate with rye. But that damn tomato leaf keeps coming back again. It's there. It's not as prominent as with the one with at the 50% ABV one. But it's still there.
Oh, my.
And the palate, it's very green. Yeah, green wood chocolate. Not very pleasing to me.
Yeah, I'm still not getting that vegetable thing. It's not either. Oh, yeah,
well, you must have had too many vegetables last night, because this thing is a vegetable bomb. Yeah. It's young. It's not complex. It's not interesting. It might improve with age.
Sounds like Maury's resume.
It might improve with age, but gosh, I'm so disappointed. On paper, this sounded great. Uncut, unfiltered, barrel strength, 120 proof, 100% rye. I mean, how do you take something coming out of Alberta and
this is from British Columbia? This is British Columbia. It's a different, this is not Alberta Rye Company. This is somebody else is producing it.
It's not you, it's me.
It's coming out of Canada. It should be amazing. And honestly, it's either in its introverted, closed stage and waiting to open up and emerge, or I don't know. But honestly, I had high expectations.
Instead, taking it to New York thing is what they did.
Yeah, I had high expectations.
Last time I went to New York, I got bed bugs for crying out loud. So, yeah, I'd stay out of New York.
Well, that's just because you brought them from home with you.
I wish it was that easy.
Well, what are we going to rate this one, Bob?
Well, we're going to be rating the Uncle Nearest Uncut Unfiltered Rye 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So we're going to go to Maury for our next one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Uncle Nearest Single Barrel Whiskey, barrel number 8 at 59% ABV. Or 118 proof. Each barrel for this release, is distilled, aged, and bottled in Middle Tennessee. Again, it's got a beautiful burnished copper color. On the nose, fairly similar to the others in that it does have a hint of vegetal, but it's definitely a little bit more approachable, and it's got some niceties that I think you can appreciate. Then this one has much better viscosity. It coats the palate a little bit nicer. It's got a little more complexity. It's got a little more age on it. And it's got a more of a medium finish. This is definitely more drinkable and approachable compared to the other two. I think it's pleasant. I think it's well made. I think with a little bit of air, perhaps a touch of water, it's a serviceable whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
So this one reminds me more of a rye than the first two that were ryes. Yeah. So it's, you know, the nose, I love this nose.
You're right.
The best of all
this
of them.
This is not a rye. This is just
It's an American whiskey.
This is American whiskey.
Right, an American whiskey. I love I love the nose on it over above everything else that we had from them. I really love this. And then I got lots of pepper, baking spices, a bit of tobacco, hints of vanilla, and then I got that little funk to it, like that old funk that you get from the older whiskeys. Just a little bit, not a lot, you know, and stuff, but still has that little bit of bitterness to it.
Yeah,
and I don't know where they're sourcing from or how they're getting the, because this is the third one with the bitterness. And like, how do they go from three different places and still get that same bitterness? Is what I don't understand of why I'm getting that, you know, that those tannins and that bitterness all from three different sources of their product. I don't know what's going on.
So many inappropriate jokes spring to mind, which I will censor myself.
I was just thinking something along the lines of Uncle Nearest Tears had the bitterness to the whiskey.
Let's not go there.
All right. Well, we're going to rate the Uncle Nearest Single Barrel Whiskey, barrel number 8, 3 sips.
Interesting. Yeah,
it was definitely better than the other two, too. I didn't even get a chance to talk about it, man.
That's okay. We don't care what you have to say.
Whatever.
All right, well, let's move on to our last one, which is the Uncle Nearest Single Barrel Rye, barrel number 1, 60.5% ABV, 121 proof, 100% rye, made in Canada, aged in New York for a minimum of 4 years.
Again, New York, why? Yeah.
And again,
it's probably something to do with the taxation.
I get a sweet nose on it, like a candied orange.
Exactly, that orange is like pops right out,
like a candied orange peel. A little bit of the pith. I get just a little bit of that bitterness on the nose. On the palate, brown sugar, maple, and then the finish just drops as soon as you swallow. The finish is gone.
This is closer to style rye I like.
Yeah. Yeah. This, I mean, we had the, on the nose, yeah, that vanilla, the honey orange. I love that. Again, I must have a bad nose. This does not remind me of a rye.
Yeah.
But the palate, vanilla, honey, a little bit of slight tobacco.
It's all, you said, front, it's all front palate.
Yeah. And you just said it just finishes off the, right off. So dies right off.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. So we're going to rate the Uncle Nearest single barrel rye barrel number one, 3 sips.
Interesting.
So anyway, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just still kind of puzzled as to why the first two didn't smell like rye.
Yeah, I'm the same thing. I was puzzled by that as well. Yeah, so.
The one that's actually not classified as rye smelled more like rye.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. I kissed a lot of frogs today.
Yep. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure to be in the damp, dark basement.
And thank you, Harm.
You know, well, I was here today. Thank you, I guess, Bob. I mean,
well, for sip, said, and smokes.
It's better to drink whiskey than not, right?
For sip, said, and smokes, is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
Short day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.